told me last night that they weren't going to be here, and the other ones I just ran off, and I apologize for that, amen. Hopefully they'll come back when we're going, Pastor Dawson, amen. You know, he was talking about some things about doing all the things and all the works of the ministry when he was over there in Belgium, and he was, and they were. And at one time they were doing it, and Sister D asked a question. She said, "Seems like Greg's doing everything." And I said, "Amen." Says, he's just doing all this stuff here. You're just nowhere around, and he's just doing everything. And that's exactly what he was doing. And that was exactly what he was supposed to do. And then I said, "Hey, Greg, do I talk to you often?" He said, "Yes." And it's like, how come you didn't tell your wife what was going on? Amen. But it was good. It was good. And I tell you, they learned everything. And I'm glad because they did such a whole lot better job than I ever done. Amen. And I'm proud of them. I'm proud of Shining Lake Baptist Church. Every time I come here, I just look and see how God has worked through this marvelous family and did his will and how obedient they were to it. Amen. Folks, I tell you, God's been blessing me this week in a lot of different ways. Amen. Last night, we left here, my wife and I, and we was a little hungry. And if you wait till you get over on the side of town where we're staying at, everything closes. Y'all roll up the sidewalks at 9:30. I mean, at that time, it's like, unless you're going someplace you shouldn't be, everything else is closed. Amen? And so we decided we're going to get something before we go there. So we stopped down here at the Five Guys. Amen? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they figured they were going to feed Five Guys, amen? And so we went in there and got to having a good time picking with the people behind the counter. I mean, we were just having a good time of fellowship. And I don't even know the people, but they now we have a good time with them. And they started giving me everything I wanted. And I said, "Boy, I tell you, I got one of those great big old hamburgers or double cheeseburgers or whatever it was." And I said, "Man, how's those hot dogs taste?" And they said, "Man, they taste great." I said, "Man, if I didn't have this burger here and all this stuff, I think I'd like to have one of those." You know what they did? They fixed me up a wonderful hot dog before I left over there, free of charge, amen? And then they gave us sodas, and they gave us... Now, the peanuts are free, amen? But you're not supposed to walk out there with those bags, amen? And I didn't. I just wanted to put that in your mind, though, so you think I did, amen? But you would be surprised that we left out of there. We was fist bumping with the cooks and just having a good time. And you'd be surprised. And just being simple Christians, loving God and loving life, you would be surprised who you affect. Amen? My only regret is that I didn't have a track from Shining Light Baptist Church to take them. But when I leave here tonight, I guarantee you I will take them over there and hand them out to them and tell them this is the place to be. Amen? We're going to be in Psalm 118 tonight. Psalm 118, Psalm 118, and I'm in a straight betwixt two, amen. We're still here in Psalm, both of these in one Psalm 118, but I don't know if I want to go with the larger explanation of the entire passage or the shorter one and just focus in on some things. Amen. Now, if I listen to my wife, she's going to err on the side of the shorter one because she already said, you know, you've been here too long anyway. Amen. And so she'll err on the side of the shorter one. And my idea is to give as much as I can because I'm not going to be here and Pastor Dawson has to clean it all up. And so that's his job. Amen. Psalm 118, if you would, please. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. The verses are going to be the same in here, so you don't worry about that. Starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." By the way, you don't have to get them. God says, "I will." Amen. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord, what? Help me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the words of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over to death, unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light, and bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. That thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, thank you again for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can come with a time of rejoicing, Lord, as we have gotten things together in you according to the program of God. I pray now, Lord, as we enter into the Word of God and into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you work on our hearts, Lord, once again. And, Lord, give us that spirit of joy and understanding that in all things, Father, you get the glory. Again, forgive me where I fail you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you've given me thus far. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit, Lord, that once again you might want to use me. For I praise you tonight and thank you for all things. And Lord, the young man who got saved yesterday and gave his testimony, Lord, who's here again tonight, thank you for giving us the privilege to worship with him. In all things we acknowledge you, for we praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, Lord, and amen. You may be seated, folks. I told you last night that this is going to be one of those wonderful psalms. Now, the psalm is still going to be conditional about one thing. Amen? The psalm is conditional, and the joyfulness that's coming through this thing is conditional upon the fact that we got our hearts and things right. Amen? And that we have our love focused in the right direction. Because if our hearts are right and our love is focused in the right direction, you will find that it puts in you inherently and instinctively a spirit and a desire to worship God. Amen? If you're not careful, it'll put a smile on your face in 95 degree temperatures. Amen? By the way, I guarantee you, it's a whole lot better to smile in here than it is to frown out there, amen? Because it's slap hot out there, amen? And so, and by the way, I'm used to Atlanta heat with that humidity. But this dry heat will fool you. It'll sit up there and make you think you're all right. About that time, your brain juices is all dried up, and you fall into a slap, one of those strokes, amen? And so you got to be careful about this heat out here. It's deceptive, amen? And so, you find out that it'll put a smile on your face once you've gotten those things right with the Lord. Amen. As a matter of fact, when David was finally getting his heart right with God, when he finally cried out in that wonderful psalm, Lord, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen. When he got his joy back, he would say things like, I was glad when they said it was time, let's go down to the house of the Lord. I was glad of that. By the way, how many of y'all are glad to be here tonight? Amen. How many of y'all expected to leave here glad? Amen. The dear brother said, I wish you would stop, realize it. I need you to realize that there's other people in that church that you could preach to, and don't be calling out my sins. Amen. One dear lady said, I thought I got all this right last night. What are you doing bothering me this night? Amen. If it's any consolation, everything that happened to you, worse has happened to me because I had to get it firsthand, and you got it in the crowd. At least you had the privilege of looking off and said, maybe he's talking about them. Oh, no, it's me. These folks have gotten their hearts right, amen, and it's time to get ready to go to worship. Now, here's the process in which they did this. As you remember, the Bible gives certain trumpet sounds, and what would happen is this. On the time that they get ready to go into the temple on the Sabbath day, and they're bringing all the sacrifices, all the people, they were in their tents, they were getting their last minute things done, the ladies were finishing up what they're doing and fixing their hair and all that, and making sure, well, the kids, all the little kids couldn't come, they had to go into a different area, but they was all fixed up, and all of a sudden, the trumpet would sound, amen, and that was that big old long, like a goat's horn, they blow into that thing, and it would, maybe not that sound like that, amen. Amen. You know, maybe for some of y'all, maybe it was doing that. But the trumpet would sound. And when that trumpet would sound, it was the call to assembly. Amen. By the way, older churches used to do that too. They used to have the bells outside. And you'd hear the bell ringing. That was the call to assembly. And at that time, all the people would rise up and they would come out into the street. And the tabernacle was away from them, but they were surrounded by it. And when that tabernacle was there and they called to assembly, all of a sudden they would begin to come towards the tabernacle, come towards the house of God, come towards the place of worship. And what they did was they would begin singing on their way there. Amen. Amen. Nowadays, we use that in the military. We call it cadence. It'll help you get from point A to point B and lockstep and get there in an orderly fashion. Now, this was one of those songs that they would sing on their way to the temple, on their way to the tabernacle to worship God. Amen. And I don't know the exact tune of the thing, but over the years, I found out I could put a tune to it that seemed to have worked very well with it. Amen. And as you come up there, that's the tune I wanted to kind of show y'all tonight. Amen. I'm going to say I can sing the lead to it just like I'm a cadence caller. And I just needed y'all to repeat a verse. And the verse is simple. His mercy endureth forever. Right? Is that hard? No. You sure you got it? Yeah. Let's try it together. His mercy endureth forever. Okay, now y'all trying to sound pretty instead of sounding joyful, amen? Let's sing it like we really mean it. Here we go. His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. You sound good. Are you recording them singing? Maybe you should have turned that on. This is a beautiful sound, amen? So when they would start, you would get them all together, and you would hear the cadence begin to start. And the cadence would start off, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Okay, now we're just going to do it like we have some life. Okay? His mercy endureth forever. Because you're excited, amen? And you're ready to go to church. And you're looking forward to worship. Man, I don't know what God's going to do today. The sacrifice. This is going to be awesome, amen? We got up early. Come on, kids, let's get out there. I can hear them start singing now. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that, amen, now you got me messed up, amen. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Oh, let them now that fear, amen. Let them now that fear, amen. Let them now that fear the Lord say that. Did I miss a verse? Okay, let's get back to that then. Let the house of Aaron now say that.
His mercy
endureth
forever.
So we're coming down the road. You got a million people singing. This tune is ringing out. And then he's going to show you something. He's going to tell you and show you why this song meant so much to him. And he doesn't tell you in the beginning. He goes all the way through some things. And then in the middle down there, he starts saying, "The Lord, the Lord, who is the Lord to me? What has the Lord become to me? What is it all about?" And he shows you down there in verse number 14. He's going to say, "The Lord, first of all, is my strength. And the Lord, second of all, is my song. And the Lord has become what? My salvation." And when he gets all of that out, he's going to end with the congregation singing, "His mercy endureth forever." Got it? Y'all ready for this? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're not going to do that one. We actually are. There's another song that happens that many of us already know that happens in the middle of this thing as well. If you look over there in verse number 24. And he starts saying, "This is the day." How many of y'all kids? "This is the day that the Lord has made." Amen. Let's sing that one. "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it." So imagine you're going over there. "His mercy endureth forever." "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. His mercy endureth forever." Talk about having a good time going to church. I mean, getting excited about that thing. And then when you step down through the verses, you see why they were able to get excited. He says, first and foremost, as I mentioned to you in that verse down there, you working with me so far? In that verse number 14, he divides it out. He says, this is what it's all about. Verse number 14, "The Lord is my strength." What are you talking about when I think about who the Lord is to me, what it's all about? He gets everybody stirred up, amen, and they're singing. The chosen ones, Israel is singing. The caretakers, Aaron's house is singing. The church is singing, and that's them that fear the Lord in verse number 4. And he's letting them know, this is how we're going to enter into the house of the Lord. This is the message that I need to have. First and foremost, the Lord is my strength. How many of y'all have felt that today, have needed the Lord? Amen. You figure there was things going on and you didn't even realize how much you needed him. Amen. Especially, you know, when we really depend on the strength of the Lord, when things are going bad. The things are going bad. We start even questioning what's going on here. But you'll find out when they started questioning, that's when they had to realize this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And that means that something to us as well. If this is the day that the Lord has made, we got to make sure that we understand. He said all things work together for good. Amen. Didn't say all things that work together are good. He said all things work together for good. And sometimes when we're going through the events and the challenges of the day, we might not look at them as being good, but because this is the day that the Lord has made, we need to realize that it's the day that was shaped by him. He made this day. He knew what you were going to go through. He knew the person who was going to be sick, and he knew the one who was going to be sad, and he knew the one who was going to be sorry. Amen. He knew everything about your day. He knew it before the foundations of the world. Amen. He shaped this day. He knows what's going on. Sometimes we don't. We get all upset. We get confused. But God's never out of control. Right. Amen. And so we need to realize it was a day that was shaped by him. And if it was a day that was shaped by him, we should realize that you should have got up this morning. Realizing this, it's a day that should be shared with him. Amen. God, I need you. I need you right now. I need you to go through this. By the way, how many of us get in the car and without thinking sometimes take off a drive without praying and asking God's grace? Amen. Sometimes we have to realize, I don't know how I got to church without you, Lord. Amen. Or you get in the car and all of a sudden you're all spiritual, you're all worked up, and something dumb happens or some type of argument ensues in the car and things start to go by. You know God knew that would happen. Amen. And he could have been letting things happen to shape you, to make you what you need to be, to cause you to share more time with him. And if it's a day that the Lord has made, it's a time that should be spent for him. Amen. Amen. Lord, how can I use this day more wisely for you? Amen. So let's look at a few things here. And I'm going to try not to be as long as I was. You know, the dear brother mentioned something, Pastor Dawson. I shouldn't tell you all the things that they share, but they probably shared it with you. They said, man, the only thing you probably need is a clock, a watch. He said, I tried to get Pastor Dawson one. And he didn't know how to use it either. Amen. And I don't mind. I'm not going to tell you the brother's name. Amen. He'll probably confess that, come down to the altar, ask for forgiveness. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my strength. What are you talking about, preacher? Why would you say that? Why would the psalmist sing that? Why would they get so excited about that? Because of verse number 5. First of all, he said, the Lord is my strength. Why? Because I think about the prayers that were answered. Verse number 5 says, I called upon the Lord in distress. And he said, the Lord answered me and set me, what? In a large place. He said, you know something? I realized something. There were some things. And by the way, Pastor Dawson's been talking about praying for this one, praying for that one. You know, it's time sometimes when I pray for myself. You ever get in those times when it seems like everything's going wrong? And you find yourself almost claustrophobic. You're backed up into a corner. You don't know which way to go. And problems are coming at every hand. I mean, bills are coming over here. Problems are coming over here. Family issues over here. And every time the job issues over here. And it's like, man, I could lose my mind. What's going on here? And at just about the time you feel overwhelmed, you finally say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your mercy right now. I know it's renewed every morning, but I need it right now. And all of a sudden, he takes your heart, he takes your spirit, and takes you out of that claustrophobic position where you felt that there was nobody there for you and you was all closed in. And next thing you know, he sets you in this place, he called a large place, where you can breathe. And it's like, it seems like there's no troubles on any hand, no problems anywhere. The job seems to fall in place. The family seems to straighten up, amen. Everything seems to be going well. He said, when I was in distress, was I in that tight place, when I was between a rock and a hard place, I called out to God, and he answered me, and he set me in a large place. Man, that gives you a reason to sing, doesn't it? Just to go, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. I don't know the whole song, but bear with. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Just singing the song, it just makes you go, hey, folks, when he cleansed me of sin, when sin had me beat down and bound up, where my joy was fleeting, and I felt that no man cared for my soul, I felt myself in that pit, a miry pit, and I called upon him, and he lifted me out of there, and he set my feet upon a rock. He put a song in my heart. He established my going. He said, let me tell you something, the Lord is my strength. Why is he my strength? Because I think about the prayers that he's answered. Amen. Well, I tell you what's the truth. When you raise children and you find out your children's got medical issues, and my daughter found out she had to have an operation. She already had a tumor on her pituitary gland that they said if they have to operate through that, they have to go in through her nose and go through a different procedure to get to it. And it was swelling, and they was giving her all kinds of treatment. Then they found, as they was doing those things, that she had some abnormalities on her on a thyroid, and they was doing biopsies, and it was so painful that she said, "Dad, I'm trying to be a big girl." As they go through these things, she said, "But I hate these things." And she's going through all of those things. And the only thing we could do, she had seven of them. And the only thing we could do was pray for her. That's all we could do. And then when they finally took her, they had the decision. They said, "We're going to probably take, if it was my wife, if it was my family, I'll only take out half." But she needed all of it taken out after all. And by the way, it was the grace of God and the decision. Dude, I don't like surgery anyway. And now you're going to come over there and you got to say you remove these things. And again, there's nothing we could do. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't go over there and wave my hand over and make it all better. But that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to just say, Lynette, it'll be fine. It's all better. And she trusts me because I'm her dad. She used to jump off the table and jump into my arms. She knows that dad's going to say some things that's very securing to her. And mom's just going to say, "Oh, dear God. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, curse my body. It was my fault." She cries out on the mercy of the Lord. "Oh, forgive me where my iniquities that caused my children to suffer." And I'm one of these cool people. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. And then when they finally take it all out and they do the pathology report and they say it was cancer. And you think, man, what are we going to do? And all the time you remember, I prayed. I asked God to intervene. And as they started giving the results, yeah, it's cancer, but you know, it's a good thing. They didn't want her to take the whole thing. They said, "This is what we need to do." She prayed about it. We prayed about it. She and I had the same answer. Let them take it all now so if something happens, you won't have to go back in there again. Because if they hadn't taken it all at that time and they found the cancer, they'd had to go back in within the next day or two. That means before this scar is healed, I'm going back in there. Take it all. Get it all now. And they said, "Oh, praise." They said, "We prayed about it." And they gave us peace about it. And she went over there. And when they took it all out and they found the cancer, they said, "Because we got the other side, we got it all." Amen. We got it all. And oh, by the way, she was praying. They said, "It's going to take you about 2 weeks before we get you on this medication and do all this stuff here." The doctors, they prayed about those things. And Lynette was, she was worried about what the doctor was going to say, how she was going to have to talk him into doing the right thing. But instead, the doctor got her on the phone and said, "This is what we're going to do. We're not going to wait for 2 weeks. We're going to start you on this. Now we're going to do." And everything she wanted to get done, she said, she started crying. This is the first time she really cried about the procedure. Because she said, "Everything that I was praying to God that they would do, they came along and did it." And her mother was there with her the whole time. You know what? You know, the Lord is my strength. A very present help in a time of trouble. The prayer that was answered. Not only that, look at verse number 6 and you see the peace that was assured. This is why we're singing. He said, "The Lord is on my side. I will not." I mean, this is a dedicated, determined decision that was made. "I will not fear what men can do unto me." I won't do it. Amen. Why? Because God's on my side. I always think, you know, what you going to do? Kill me and promote me to heaven? What's the worst you can do? God said, "Don't fear him who can destroy the body. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." Well, I got that hell thing straightened out, amen. I'm on my way to heaven. So if you can destroy this body, amen, I'm going up to heaven. And guess what? God said, when he comes back down here, he's going to give me a better body, which I need. When this one here does, it needs some things done to it, amen. The prayer that was answered, the peace that was assured because of God's strength. The presence that was alongside. Look at verses 7 and 9. He said, "The Lord taketh my part with them that help me." Therefore, by the way, she didn't go through that process alone. She had a whole church praying for her. Actually, she had several churches praying for her. And she had people around the world praying for her. And the collective prayer, working together and walking together with her, may help her get through the challenges, amen. And by the way, could I tell you something? You may be going through problems, but I guarantee you, if you're saved here today, you're not going through them by yourself. You got folks, you got a pastor that will pray for you, amen. And he really, really, him and his dear wife, they really, really pray for you. Amen. Pray for you that God gets a hold of you, whether good or bad, whatever it takes, because all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen? Oh, he says, the Lord is my strength. So when I couldn't carry on, look at the rest of that verse. He said, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that what? Hate me. God knows how to take care of me. Verse number 8, it is better, I love this, to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Boy, I found that out. Any of y'all ever put confidence in man and they let you down? Amen. Amen. I used to have a brother, still remember him, Brother Gilbert. He used to tickle me. He used to say, Pastor, we're behind you 100%. He'd make that stabbing motion. We're behind you to stab you in the back. Now, he was playing, but there's more people out there that really means that. Right. Amen. Right. Guess what? You could go ahead and hate on me all you want to. Why? Because I realized something. It's better for me to put my confidence in God, my trust in God, than my confidence in man. Amen. I can't trust him. Not only that, he says this in verse number 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, we think we may go out there and make a vote. And we think that our president and our senators are for us. Boy, that is such a silly concept. The only thing they want from you is to secure your vote, and they'll promise you beads and trinkets and all of that. But let me tell you something. Those guys ain't no good. If anything, they legislated spirituality out of our nation. It's because of them that we can't have prayer in school. It's because of them that abortion is the way it is. It's because of them that marriage is messed up. It's because of them thinking everything is all right. They're not on your side. You're supposed to be standing with the Lord. You stood with the Lord. Now we're enemies. You know, there's a school principal that just got banned from the school premises. It was on the news just recently. He got banned from the school premises because he prayed with the students. Amen? Now, you could come on to school with a gun, and they will only suspend you for a week. You pray with the students, and they'll ban you from the school. That's because we voted for them instead of trusting in him. Amen? I'm glad that people say, Preacher, who are you going to vote for? The one who's closest to the Word of God. The one who's closest to the Word of God. If I look at you're not standing for the things of God, you won't get nothing that resembles my vote. You won't even get a healthy nod. Why is that? Because I'm on God's side. Amen. The Lord is my strength. The prayer that was answered, the peace that was assured, the presence that was alongside, that verse number 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. He said all these nations, he looked around them and the power that was applied. He said all of them was against us. Amen. They're all against us. But guess what? We're still having services. Amen. We're still praising God. We're still singing his praises. You know why? Because God's in charge of this thing. And you know what? There's going to be a time when the world, like they're saying right now, they don't like us to assemble together calling on the Lord. But one day there's going to be an assembly that they couldn't stop with all the police and riot gear and tanks and armies of the world. You know why? Because the great trumpet is going to sound. Now, this is the assembly day, son. The great trumpet is going to sound, and we're going to hear the voice from heaven that says, come up hither. And he said, and we're going to assemble together in the clouds with the Lord, amen. And when the church finally assembles together, amen, the world ain't ever seen nothing like the church assembled together. Boy, that voice is going to sound, that trumpet's going to sound, we're going to meet up with the Lord in the end. And I wonder if we'll start that song. I wonder what song, because the Bible said there's a song we're going to sing that is so powerful that the angels can't even sing it. The Bible said it's called in Revelation the song of the redeemed. Right. Amen. He said they won't even be able to stop us from singing. And then when we come back, we're coming to set the record straight. Right. Amen. We got a new authority. We got a new King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen. And we don't have to worry about the White House. He owns the house. Amen. Amen. Folks, the Lord is my strength. And so when they realize all that the Lord had done for them, boy, it is easy to get the song going. Verse number 11 says, they compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, what? I will destroy them. Verse number 12, they compassed me about like bees. Amen. You ever see what bees do? God used bees one time to disperse an army. I had the privilege or misprivilege of having to deal with a bee one time. A bee threw me down a hill. Amen. I was running. I was in the Pocono Mountains. And I was frolicking. You know, I'm from the inner city, and we're frolicking. We never had that grass and all that before. And we was up in the Pocono Mountains. It was summertime. And, boy, just frolicking. And I'm running down the hill, just happy, giddy. And a bee came. And this bee stung me in the back of my head. And as the Lord liveth, I went forward, rolled down that hill, and when by the time I got to the bottom of that thing screaming, and my head took a knot on it about the size of a baseball, I realized something. If one bee could knock me down a hill, what could a bunch of them have done to me? Amen. One bee threw me. And by the way, any of y'all ever got stung by a bee? It ain't funny, is it? Praise the Lord. You know, and people say, you'll be all right. Get the stinger out. You know, I'll be all right once I smack you. Amen. Let you feel my pain. He said, that's the way the enemy was coming at me. But he said something happened. He said, when God took hold of it, he said he kind of quenched it with the fire of thorns. You know what runs bees away? Smoke. And he said, when all of the bees was coming around me, God just let that fire throw and the thorns come. And ran the enemy off. Only God knows what I need. Only He knows what can take care of me. No wonder my song gets better. Amen. Because all I think about is all the things that could have happened today. And all the things He prevented from happening today. Amen. All the things that could have happened. And all the things He prevented. The Lord is my strength. Verse number 14, he said, the Lord is my strength. But he said something else, too. He said, not only is the Lord my strength, he says, he's my song. He's my song. Verses 15 and 18, it starts talking about that song. Listen to this here. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is where? In the tabernacles of the righteous, the right hand of the Lord doeth what? Valiantly. Think about this. If you're not singing any place, he said, when you get here, you need to tune her up. Me, 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 la, 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 la. You say, you don't have a good voice. Don't worry. When it gets tuned up, it comes out, son. You need to get ready to sing. Right. You know, sometimes it troubles me. Get them in the house of God. Get them under they're supposed to be coming to worship God. We're coming to worship God. And we want to worship Him in song. Oh, sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. And it seems like sometimes we come into praise Him, praise Him. What is it? Say again? Not all the little children. I'm just thinking about some of the songs here. We can open up the song book here, and I listen to some of our folks sing sometimes. It's like, what in the world is wrong with you? Amen. Amen. Here's one. This is my Father's world. This is my Father. That's the way it's supposed to be sung. This is my Father's world. Oh, and to my listening ear. See how strong that's supposed to be? We come in there. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ear. And we don't sing like God owns this thing. And we don't sing like we're joint heirs. Amen. They may be messing it up, but God's going to clean them up in a minute. Amen. But when we come with the songs of rejoicing, when that door opens and we come in here, this should be a gladness and a joy. So we can't, it's almost saying, brother, get to the singing part so we can get this worship going on. It's all about it. And when I'm revived, there's a brother out there, he stands in the hallway and he sings. And sings. And sings. And I said, why aren't you up there singing? Well, brother, and he sings. Bless God, if I got a voice, he got a good voice. If I had a voice that sounded that good, son, I'd be, you know, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. I mean, I'd be letting her rip. Some of y'all looking at me funny. I don't know if my voice sounds that good. Neither do we, because we can't hear you. Let it come out. Songs of rejoicing. By the way, if Jesus was to come into the service tonight, how would you sing? Would any of y'all be showing off? Letting the rip? How would we sing if Jesus was in here? You sure I'm right? Last time I checked, you should have brought him with you. So he should have been here. Wherever there are two or three gathered in my name, there shall I be in the midst. And I think here a multitude. Boy, this place should have been rocking. They should have heard us down there on Craycroft. Amen. He said, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the what? The tabernacles, you see that plural? The churches, the ecclesias, the assemblies of the righteous. Now, we got our hearts right this week, right? So we should be singing like, there's nothing I have to worry about confessing today. And now God says, but why aren't you singing like you got your heart right? He said, the right hand of the Lord doeth what? That right hand is the hand, the position of honor. He said, the right hand of the Lord is what? Exalted. Think about that for a moment. We're in his right hand, and he lifts us up. Amen? How many of y'all feel lifted up tonight? Amen. Praise God. You know, this part over here is getting it. Some of y'all are still over here grunting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get the amen out of there. Amen? They're working on it. Amen. You got it, sister. Amen. Hey, folks, the Lord is my song. There's enough bad music out there than for Christians to mimic it. Amen. Why can't we start singing the songs of Zion, the joy of the Lord? Why can't we let people know that? And by the way, y'all got a Christian radio station in town. I mean, right up there on the road. What was that, Sunrise or Sunset or Ola or Ina? It's on one of those streets. It's up there, and it's right there. Amen. In town. We got a lot of reasons to sing. As a matter of fact, I got the reason why I got that hot dog last night and the reason why I got a lot of fun last night was at the Five Guys. They were playing this old music, and I don't pay any attention to the music because I used to play it when I was wicked and low down and no good last week. The guy was back there singing. And when he started singing, I immediately shouted out, are you okay? And he said, what? I said, I thought you burned yourself or cut yourself on the grill the way you shouted out like that. Amen. And he was singing. He caught on. And he started laughing. And he started working back and forth. And as we went down there, he said, here's your order number. I said, I got to be careful if I'm going to mess with the cook. And he's messing with my food. Amen. He said, don't worry about it, bro. And we started elbow bumping. And then I said, hey, I need my wife, she likes these strawberry milkshakes, but she doesn't like them unless there's a whole lot of strawberry in it. And I said, man, my wife, she wants this here, but you're going to have to put a lot of strawberry in it. And they put so much in it, she couldn't hardly suck it through the straw. Be careful what you ask for when you bless. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Amen. And the whole night, those two working together, interacting with us, going back and forth until the place closed. And we had a good time. And when we left, they gave the high five. And it was all because he was singing. I cut in on his singing, according because he says, I love this stuff. I'm having a good time here. And cut in on his singing, and it allowed us an opportunity just to talk and have a good time with him. You would be surprised what a song can do, especially coming from a Christian. Always give the example. When I was running PT, I'm a retired Army guy. Any retired Army here? You retired Army?
You retired.
Okay, but you went in the Army. Praise the Lord. Good, good, good. Anybody else was in the Army? All the rest of y'all Air Force? Well, let me put it this way. Between you and I, we got them surrounded. Amen. Amen. Army guys, we go to the field, we go to boot camp. I was getting ready to say about the Air Force, but they're good people. Amen. I've always been stationed at Air Force bases, so I really don't know the Army life. Amen. I just know the good life of the Air Force and the good pay of the Army. Say again? Let me help you. I lived on nothing but Air Force bases. I'm not jealous of it. I was living through it. Holloman Air Force Base, Homestead Air Force Base, Chevers Air Force Base, Shaw Air Force Base. I'm an Army guy that's never actually ever been stationed on an Army base. Amen. When I went to school, I had to get it. But anyway, let me get to what I'm saying. Even though I wasn't stationed on an Army base, we had Army people there who wanted us to do Army PT. Now, we know the Air Force, when y'all do PT, y'all just take a couple of handballs and squeeze them and then get on the bicycle. And y'all know how y'all do it. You know, when they tell y'all to do a push-up, y'all immediately go on sitcom. Amen. But they used to make us have to run. A 2 mile every PT test, we had to do a 2 mile run, and we had to do it in a minimum amount of time or we fail. And I still remember each time, especially when they put us on the track, the quarter mile tracks. That quarter mile track, you said, well, this should be easy. Not when you have to go around it that many times. Your mind plays psychological advantage, takes psychological advantage of it. But I remember I used to run, get on that track, and they would say, go. And all the young kids, boy, they take off. And they take off and take off out of there. And I start running. And they said, I run like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, my hands up in the air like that. You know, and I start running. And they would come past. And I keep running. And then about that time, about the 4th mile, I'm still keeping my pace there. And you ever get that? You ever start running? Well, y'all are Air Force, so this is going to be a bad illustration for you. You ever start running and get that cramp in your side? And you're losing everything? And you're running down there and everything's going out and you can't hardly make it? And I would get that way. I start running and that cramp start coming. And immediately I start going through a song. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden. You know, start singing, and then by the time I get to the chorus, wonderful the master's grace of Jesus. And I'm start singing, and I'm running around the track singing. Deeper than a mighty roller sea. And these guys who will go, room, they're coming up there. And I come higher, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace, we're even. And then I start taunting them. I'm going to get in it this time here. If you get in after me, you failed that test. Come on. Wonderful. It got me through some of the hardest times of my life, something as simple as a song of praise. You'd be surprised. You get depressed. Go to the Lord to give you strength. Let him give you a song. Oh, victory in Jesus. Amen. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him. And oh, no, I'm not singing in your choir, bro. I see your face. Wait, we need him. Verses 15 and 16 shows you the Lord is my song, the rejoicing in his redeemed people. He loves hearing them sing. He loves hearing you call out and praise him. Rejoicing not just in his singing, in his people, the redeemed people, but rejoicing in his resurrection power. Look at verse number 17. He said, I shall not die, but what? But live and declare the works of the Lord. Verse number 18, the Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto what? Death. I know this here. Sometimes the Lord has to get me. Amen. Because I'm his child. He loves me. But you know what? He always restores me. He always restores me. I can always count on being restored by the Lord. Why? Because not only is the Lord my strength, the Lord is my song. He gives me a reason to sing and tell everybody else about him. You know? As you're sitting up there, beat all up, scarred all up. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not by the years of time alone, but for eternity. And by the way, did you ever think about this? You got a whole book of those. And if that ain't enough, here's more books that you could have. And if that ain't enough, you got a Bible that has a book of songs. Amen. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation. He said, no wonder I could sing. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Verse number 19. Open to me the gates of the of righteousness. I will go into them and I will what?
Praise,
praise the Lord. Why? Because I'm saved. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee for thou hast heard me and art become what?
My
salvation. I can sing because I'm saved. Amen. I can sing. And by the way, as he's dealing with his salvation, he lets you know it happened because of a simple prayer. That verses 19 and 21. He said, I will praise thee because you heard me. How hard did it take y'all to get saved? How many of y'all did you have to take weeks and weeks and weeks of study programs to get saved? How many of y'all did it just take you to say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. Cleanse me of sin. Amen. Come into my, save me. Deliver me from hell. By the way, you got to know what you got saved from.
That's right.
Amen. Save me from that place called. And by the way, he doesn't wait to get it done. The Lord is my salvation. Why? Because of the simple prayer, he saved me. In verses 22 and 23, there's a sudden pause, though. And this sudden pause is not a good one. He says this. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. He said, let me tell you something. Not everybody has a voice to sing. Not everybody can say that they're saved. You and I have the privilege. We made it on that narrow way. If nothing else, we have every reason to praise God. We are heaven bound. We are hell proof. But we got to remember, there's some people out there who are not.
Right.
Amen? Who are not. They're stumbling over the stone that they're supposed to be the cornerstone of their life. That stone, the Bible says, is the stone of salvation, is the Lord Jesus. They're stumbling over him. They don't know any better. Amen? And if they listen to us, do we give them any idea or give them any reason to want to know better? Do they hear our voices thundering out with a roar of joy as we prepare to go into the house of God? Or do they find us sometimes saying, man, I wish it wasn't time to go. I wish it was another day. I wish it wasn't Sunday. I wish it wasn't today. Folks, they need to see that we like being saved.
That's right.
Amen. We like being saved. I enjoy being saved. I enjoy being, by the way, I enjoy being saved so much, I embarrassed my wife. She caught on, though. She started getting on her. We were driving down the car. Now she picks at the people across me in the windows and things like that. I'll embarrass her. She said, I can't take you anywhere. Because I'll pick with them. I like having a good time. I like having a good time. But you know why I like having a good time? Because I'm saved. And if I show people how good it is being saved, maybe it might be contagious. Because being good and having a good time, it makes them want to find out what I got. And it makes it easy for me to share it with them. Amen. Because they don't have it so good. There's a pause there. Imagine having to stop in the middle of the song and see somebody who's rejected Christ, on somebody over here who's never had an opportunity to hear. They want to sing with us, but they don't know the words. You know, it's a song that the angels can't sing. He said, the Lord has become my strength. He's become my song. But it's because he's become my salvation. That sudden pause gets down into verse number 23. He said, "This you did this, Lord." He said, "And it's marvelous how you set it up." But as we go down here, let me close with this last thought. The Lord is my strength, my song, my salvation. My salvation comes because of the simple prayer, because of the sudden pause. But he starts cranking it back up, that sounding praise. Look down there at verse number 24. That sounding praise starts off. He said, "It's marvelous. I understand all those things, but I got to understand this too, Lord. This is the day that you had made." So even though I pause for a moment to look around there, I got to get the chorus back up to speed again, because we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. How many of y'all came to church tonight to worship? Or how many of y'all just came to have a meeting? Being honest, amen. If we came to worship the Lord, then it's time to lift up our voices. And that's when that song began to go. It began to go, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." He says this here when he looks over in the situations. He says, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now" what? "Prosperity." You make it happen, Lord. You make it happen. Verse number 26, he said, "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." You know, the next time you hear that in the New Testament, you hear it when Jesus is coming through the gate, and he's coming down that gate, riding on that mule, and they're laying down the palm leaves and all that. As he's coming through that triumphant entry, and they're saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." They know who they're going to worship here. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house," what? "Of our Lord." I mean, it begins to be something that we share with others. 20 to 27, "God is the Lord," in case you don't know who we're talking about. "God is the Lord, which has showed us." What did he show us? He showed us light. "Bind the sacrifice." Wow. Because God saved them and showed them light, they're ready to do what? Sacrifice. We're coming to worship. "Bind the sacrifice with cord, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will" what? "Praise thee." Thou art my God. And it gets personal. I will" what? Now remember this. Over in verse number 16, God was exalting us. By the time you get over here, we got a handle on this thing. And you know what? We're exalting God. And when that exaltation begins to take place, they realize how it all started. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." Now we're in the house, in the presence of the Lord. Who is the Lord to me? He's my strength. He's my song. Because he's my salvation. Let's stand to our feet tonight, folks. It's contagious, isn't it? His mercy endureth forever. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. No one looking around. Lord, I came to praise you tonight. I came because your mercy endured. It was renewed today. By your mercy, I'm awake. By your mercy, I could get out here. I'm in my right mind. And I came to worship you. I came, Lord, because you're my strength. Without you, I could do nothing. Without you, I would crumble and fall. I came tonight, Lord, because you're my song. There's no better song to sing than the song of the redeemed. I came tonight, Lord, because you're my salvation. I would say here tonight, preacher, if I was to die right now, and if the Lord was to come back right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, based upon nothing but the word of God, I know I'm on my way to heaven. You got that testimony, slip your hand up, slip it up higher like you know him. And by the way, slip it up higher like you know he knows you. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. How many would be honest tonight and say, preacher, I know I'm saved, But sometimes when I come into the house of God, when I deal with the things of God, sometimes I try and do things in my own strength. I see the hands already. Sometimes I don't sing the song when I need to have a song going to strengthen me. And even though I know I'm saved, sometimes I forget what that all means. So when the trumpet begins to sound, sometimes I'm not ready to assemble. Can I say this right now, folks? This is our last night of the old life. And this is our call to assembly. You may put them down. The trumpet of grace has sounded. The trumpet of mercy has sounded. And why don't you let God, before the piano player begins to play, why don't you let him step your heart out and you come down to an old-fashioned place and put your heart, put your sacrifice on the altar. That's what it's there for. Bind it there. Let God have that grace. And say, Lord, this is the way I'm going to come to you. I want to make sure the people know that you're my strength. Without you, I can do nothing. You're my song. You can hear the melody in my heart. That's what the Bible said, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Let him hear that song come out. And Lord, you are my salvation. And if nothing else, it's our time for worship. What do you say we take a moment to praise God for who he is? Amen. As they play, maybe God spoke to your heart. Make it out to an old-fashioned place that said, I'm here to praise God. Lord, I'm coming home. Think about that for a moment. Lord, who are you to me? When it comes down to it, did I recognize that everything happened today according to your will? This is a day that you made, and we're supposed to rejoice and be glad in it. But if I asked how many of us was rejoicing all day, how many would say, that's me? Boy, I had the joy of the Lord all over me all day today. Hey, folks. Maybe we forgot about his mercy. Maybe we forgot about the things that he's done for us. But I'm here to tell you, folks, God's still waiting, he's still willing, and he's still ready to deal with our hearts. I'm giving it all to him. Father, you know our hearts tonight. You know how many raised their hands tonight. And I looked around, Lord, and almost everybody raised their hand tonight saying that they knew that they were saved, Lord. So when the assembly bell rings, when the trumpet sounds, Lord, if there's anything we should be doing is as we're getting out of our cars, as we're leaving out of our home, as we're getting ready to go to that call of assembly, Lord, we should already have the songs of Zion on our heart. We should already have the joy of the Lord flooding our soul, recognizing what you've already done for us today. You're our song, Lord. You're our strength, Lord. You're our salvation, Lord. And we need to let the world know that. So when it's all said and done, Father, they might cry out to you, even as we cried out to you. There's a pause in the middle of all of that for those who are out there stumbling. But Lord, we can help them through it. When they see that there's no bias in our heart, that we truly come to worship you. We're going to bind the sacrifice, Lord. We're going to bind it to the horns of the altar. And Lord, dedicate it all to you. And we're going to love you, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Pastor Dawson.